Before we get started on the Bengals Beat podcast, I wanted to let you know that we are now brought to you by 50 West Brewery. They have award-winning beers coupled with a bike shop, canoe and kayak library, volleyball leagues, running groups, and a killer food menu. At 50 West, they pride themselves on adding value to people's lives through beer. Is there a better way to add value to people's lives than through beer? Whether you're looking to take a float down the river and end with a beer or throw back a couple and play some volleyball, 50 West is unlike any other brewery you've ever seen. Check out their website at 50westbrew.com. That's F-I-F-T-Y, westbrew.com for more information. 50 West, where every beer's a journey. Come join for the ride. Welcome into the BBP. This is the Cincinnati Inquirer's Bengals Beat podcast presented by 50 West Brewery. Here, your Cincinnati.com Bengals Beat writers, Jim Osarski and Paul Weiner Jr. invite you beyond the headlines and inside Paul Brown Stadium for the scoop on all things Bengals. Find out insider news, listen in on conversations with players, coaches, and others relevant to the club. You can subscribe in iTunes, Google Play, or your preferred podcast platform. Of course, you can always listen in the podcast section of our Cincinnati.com Bengals app. Let's go. All right, welcome to the special draft edition, the official draft preview edition of the Bengals Beat podcast. It's the BBP presented by 50 West Brewing. From the Cincinnati Inquirer at Cincinnati.com. Jim, this is it.
It is.
Are you ready?
I am so ready.
Yeah. More than ready. More than ready. Yeah, there's been a whole lot of previewing and ranking and discussing and mocking over the past multiple months that is. We've reached the exhaustion point where everything's a smokescreen.
Yeah, right.
Nothing is real.
Yeah.
And everything you thought you knew will be proved different in the first hour of the draft.
Right.
But anyway, we've got it all covered for you. I'm just getting right into it because we have a lot to do today. We are going, first of all, to remind you that we have the post-draft, when all the truth is finally out there, the post-draft live Bengals Beat podcast at 50 West Brewing Company at the Pro Works. Myself, Jim, and Bengals Director of Player Personnel, Duke Tobin, will be doing a live podcast at the Pro Works April 30th, 7 o'clock. We'll go, we'll talk about the draft, we'll do sort of a town hall question and answer type of thing. It's going to be a lot of fun. Anybody that came down to the one we did in season before the Steelers game, it really was a great time.
Yeah.
And a really good Bengals conversation. And I think when you have Duke there, you can guarantee that you can't get more legit than that when it comes to the draft.
Right.
Comes to Bengals draft, you won't have any more from the horse's mouth than Duke Tobin. So excited about that. Come on down, have some drinks, eat some food. There's going to be a fun crowd down there. It's just going to be a great event. Really, really, really excited about that. Hope to see you down there on Monday. This BBP, we're going to take a deeper look. We're going to mock the heck out of this thing. So we're going to – I participated in Sam Farmer's mock draft of beat writer. Every beat writer kind of makes their pick. I'm going to go through who with that we had as options at 21. We'll discuss those a little bit and dive into the pros and cons. Everybody wants to talk center. Everybody's a center expert right now. So we're going to talk about that.
Russell Bodine did play here for 4 years.
So they know bad center play. So we'll have that. And then we're going to do what is everyone's favorite thing now, which is the mock draft simulator out there. So we'll run through one of those. Now, those things... there's a lot of weird stuff happening. I mean, people that are probably going to go in the first or second round being around when at the last picks in the seventh.
Yeah.
There's some weird stuff in there. But I think generally we can get into some good conversations of who's going to be available, weighing some players in certain areas against other ones, and starting to get inklings to move one way or the other. So we're going to go through that all the way through the seventh round. So we'll take you through a full mock draft. per se. Then we take some of your Twitter questions, which we had a few good ones that we want to make sure we get into, ones that we don't talk about in the previous portions, one including putting together our view of the Bengals draft board, kind of a 1 to 21 type of look. So we're going to get into that. And then most importantly, I think, is this week's power ranking, which we have been excited about doing for a while now, and that is power ranking fictional dogs.
Yeah, that was one of my favorite suggestions we've gotten.
Yeah, this is a big podcast, so it's time to bring out the hammer power rank, and that is fictional dogs, of which I kind of feel like we should separate into two categories, fictional dogs and animated dogs, because there's so many to choose from. Yeah. I feel like we're going to have so many left out of the conversation. We can talk about, you know, you've got your animated dogs, your Scooby-Doo.
Which are fictional.
They are fictional, but your movie and TV dogs are separate. They're real.
But that's what makes power rankings great.
It is. Hard. We're mixing them together. So we're going to mix them together. So it's going to be pretty intense. So prepare yourself for that coming later on. All right, let's start. Can you do the honors? Do you have the mock draft up in front of you?
I do from the LA Times.
LA Times, which is all beat writers, myself included. So you get a pretty accurate look at well, I don't know how accurate it's going to be. These things, I mean, the funny thing about these is how quickly they get ripped up 1 minute into the draft when there's four trades that change everything completely. So keep that in mind. I mean, when you start talking about teams coming up, teams moving back, there's a lot of chance for action in there. So run down for me what we've got, though.
So obviously the Browns kick all this off, and Mary Kay, our friend over at the Cleveland Plain Dealer, Mary Kay Cabot, she says it's Josh Allen, number one.
Wow.
You know, so we'll just roll through real quick here, right?
Yeah, let's rock.
So number two, New York Giants, Saquon Barkley, Penn State. Sam Darnold then to the New York Jets. Mm-hmm. Browns again. And he went with Jeff Schutel from the News Herald for this pick, and it was Bradley Chubb to pair with Myles Garrett. That means Baker Mayfield, Joe Mixon's buddy, falls to number five in Denver. They've got the Colts with Roquan Smith staying at six. There were no trades in this mock, by the way, people. Quentin Nelson to Tampa Bay. Minka Fitzpatrick to Chicago. Tremaine Edmonds, linebacker from Va Tech, to San Francisco. Denzel Ward to Oakland. Derwin James to Miami, which is interesting because I think a lot of people have a quarterback being taken by the Dolphins there, you see around. So there is a QB left if you're counting on your hands, and that's Josh Rosen falling all the way to 12 and Buffalo.
Yep.
Which is where the Bengals were picking prior to the Cordy Gunn trade. So Vita Vea to Washington after that. And then Green Bay Packers, Marcus Davenport, Arizona at 15, right wide receiver Calvin Ridley. First tackle off the board in this mock to the Baltimore Ravens, Mike McGlinchey.
Baltimore, let me jump in. Baltimore's interesting.
Yeah.
Baltimore, I think, is a team for the Bengals to keep an eye on because they have similar needs, and they can pull a surprise here. That is where, you know, they could take a center. They just lost Ryan Jensen.
Right.
They could definitely take a tackle as they have mocked here with Mike McGlinchey or whoever.
Right.
McGlinchey, I think, is most likely to be the guy. They could take Lamar Jackson.
Right.
And that would push one of these guys back down. It could push McGlinchey down to the Bengals. It could push, you know, one of the centers down to the Bengals. I think Baltimore is a good position where you really need to start paying attention to how it's going to break for the Bengals. And they have McGlinchey here. I'm curious to see if that's how it ends up.
Right. And then so after that would be number 17, the Chargers, Daron Payne out of Alabama. 18, Seattle. I'll be honest, Paul. I'm not as familiar with this guy.
Christian Kirk?
Yeah, they've got Christian Kirk from Texas A&M. Just from everything I have read, and he isn't really the second receiver you hear going in this, or the third receiver name, so that's an interesting one. Dallas Cowboys defensive tackle Taven Bryan from Florida. Mm-hmm. And then right before the Bengals, they've got our friend Dave Burkett over at the Detroit Free Press picking defensive end Harold Landry out of Boston College to go to the Lions, putting your Cincinnati Bengals, you the listener,
on the clock. So in this scenario, you know, we're talking about the centers, right? I mean, that's what it's about. So we get into the Billy Price, James Daniels, maybe Frank Ragnow debate.
Right.
Who is the best fit? Who is the guy? And we've had different people on. What I find amusing is that everyone's had a different opinion.
Yeah.
You know, we've had people stump for James Daniels. Dane Brugler called him one of the top five, but one of the best in the last 5 years. We had, if you listen to the PFF, I mean, goodness gracious, they think that Frank Ragnow is the greatest thing ever created in the history of offensive linemen. They love him. They think he's incredible. And, you know, honestly, I've talked to a lot of people that like Billy Price the most, including some relevant to this place. So I think it's interesting to see where that will end up falling. That's part of the debate. Then in this scenario, Leighton Vander Esch is out there.
Yeah.
Rashawn Evans, the linebacker from Alabama, is out there. Isaiah Wynn, the guard from Georgia, is out there. I just don't – or Will Hernandez. I just don't think that they'll go guard. I don't think that they'll do it. I think they
– yeah, it's – I mean,
especially when the centers can play guard. Price or Daniels could play guard if that was something you felt like you needed.
Yeah, and I know that there's recent, relatively recent history with Kevin Zeitler 6 years ago, but I don't think that's a good indicator, Paul, because that was a second first-round pick. That was
– and a supreme need on a team that didn't have many needs.
Yeah.
I mean, not that they didn't have many needs, but it was glaring.
Yeah, so I mean, when you only have one first-round pick and multiple options to go with, you know, look, there's no centers left on the market. You know, we've talked about safeties, for instance. I don't think T.J. Johnson – is a starting center in this league. I don't think the Bengals feel that way. And I don't really believe you're just going to just decide to, I don't know, let's do roulette with Christian Westerman and Alec, guys who've never done it in this league, haven't done it since whenever in college. You know what I mean?
I agree.
There's too much. This makes too much sense here.
Yeah, I agree. It's a matter of who. And
right.
You know, whoever they decide fits them best, I'm going to, you know, you're going to go with their, in theory, I mean, if you look at, I mean, it seems like if you're talking about the zone scheme, if you're talking about what Frank Pollock, James Daniels does seem to make sense.
Yeah.
He probably is the one that fits that. He's younger. You know, he's 20.
Yeah.
So there's that factor. So there's two things. If you're looking for a guy who's going to play right away, Billy Price, you know, you won't have him through the entire offseason program. You assume you're probably going to have him at training camp. Will he be at full strength? He's been rehabbing. Are we going to play this game again another year? John Ross blinking in the back of your head with Billy Price here where, okay, he's supposed to be healthy, but you miss an offseason. He's supposed to be starting. That's a problem. James Daniels, you know, perhaps should be the guy. He is younger, but he's done it. I mean, Iowa, you can't have a better pedigree than Iowa.
Right.
And he could be a guy for the next 10 years. Frank Ragnow, he had an injury last year. I think people will be shocked to see him go at 21, but you never know.
Right.
You never know how teams have him evaluated. You know, you hear all kinds of things this time of year. Frank Ragnow is going to be a first-round pick now. The question is this. If the Bengals want to go offensive line in the first two picks, which I think is possible, do you press your luck and maybe here take Colton Miller from UCLA? Right. Some people scream, no, it's like Cedric Abuehi part two, the athlete with the potential. But do you do that thinking you'll get one of the centers later or be willing to package some picks because you're not going to be able to handle 11 players onto the roster. Package right. One of your threes or your four to move up in the second round when the center starts to dwindle or whenever the center starts to dwindle. You know, if let it go, see when the second one comes off the board and then start to make your move for the third.
Yeah.
But at that point, you're giving yourself potentially the third best guy of your biggest need. I think it's the most interesting question for the Bengals is, are they willing to press their luck and hope a guy makes it to 46?
Yeah.
I mean, it's a center. The center is just, it's just not highly valued.
No.
And
the thing is, Paul, what's interesting, I guess, is where in the end it falls on their board. You know, they traded up to get Russell Bodine in the fourth round, and he was a day one starter. Where do they view, that linchpin? I mean, you're talking about basically a brand new offensive coordinator, right? Brand new offense, brand new line coach. Is there just a different emphasis in 2018? And we could say that about a lot of positions, actually. We've kind of hinted at that over these last few weeks. So it makes too much sense, so I have a hard time saying they're just going to take a tackle or a corner.
Yeah.
BPA. It's just a glaring hole.
Yeah.
But you're right, and that's the thing, Paul, when you think, there's three or four centers we like that could start for us. Well, now you're playing that game, right, of, at 46 or 77, that guy will still be there. Well, eh. you know what I mean?
Here's where it gets interesting, even more interesting, is what if, and we'll go through sort of our view of the top 21, or maybe we kind of do that now even, because what if somebody that's near the top of their board slides down and we start getting into the BPA debate, right? I mean, obviously they're always taking best player available, but where do these guys, these centers and the tackle even, rank amongst the rest of them, where if someone slides down, you're willing to kick these centers to the curb and say, we'll wait for the next round.
Right.
Or we'll think later. And, I've mentioned Austin Corbett, a guy who's more of a projection because he didn't play center, but he looked good there at the Senior Bowl and looks like he's built to move inside from Nevada. And you're willing to think of, we've always got that if we need it. And, we've talked about it on here. I will mention it again. I'll keep mentioning it. Everybody that yells, got to take the position that fits. Remember William Jackson.
Right.
No one wanted a corner. No one wanted a
Nobody
corner.
Nobody wanted a corner.
Everyone wanted a receiver. Would you rather today that they had taken one of the receivers instead of taking William Jackson?
Right.
I doubt. I'm just going to run down kind of the list that I have here to give a feeling of where I think these guys land for them. So here's my top. I got it to 21. Nelson, Fitzpatrick. I took the quarterbacks out.
Yeah.
Paul
Lamar. Lamar was here.
Lamar was here. I don't believe that was real.
Yeah.
Now, I can stand and I will be shocked. Eat this tweet, right? Isn't that it?
Eat this tweet.
I will eat this tweet, right? I would just be flabbergasted. I would be floored.
Yeah.
If Marvin Lewis ushered in a quarterback controversy against Andy Dalton. Man, yeah. I get it. And I can stand on the table and make arguments for doing it.
Yeah.
I would just be shocked if Marvin Lewis, who all he cares about is not having a quarterback controversy, brought one in willfully with the number 21.
Right.
I'd be shocked. It could happen. And I don't think he'll be there. I think he'll be off the board.
Yeah, I think he'll be off the board too.
So I don't have any of the quarterbacks in here, which maybe that would have been fun for people to think of, but I'm not doing that. So then I guess I'll just go to 16. So I have Quentin Nelson, Minka Fitzpatrick, Chubb, Vita Vey, Denzel Ward, safety Derwin James. And I have Roquan Smith. I threw Barkley in there at 8. I'm sure if he was there, I'm sure they'd take him.
yeah, right.
But they have no need for running back. I mean, with Mixon. Tremaine Edmonds. I have Daron Payne at 10. Then it gets into the linemen. McGlinchey, Price, Daniels, maybe Colton Miller, Rashawn Evans. So that's the point. And a Smith, an Edmonds, a Payne. If one of those guys, or Derwin James somehow,
right.
If you see a slide from one of those guys for some reason, I think they start to consider
right.
not going for the line or the center.
Yeah, because I quarterbacks, I think it's Lamar Jackson being that fifth guy.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, Paul, I know the tackle class isn't great, but I remember saying this last year. Where did Garrett Bowles go?
20.
I mean, I think McGlinchey, and there might be another tackle. I don't know if it's Connor Williams.
Colton Miller seems to have become that guy. I think Williams, there's less of a thought.
So I could see a tackle almost being overdrafted in a way.
Because there aren't as many.
There aren't as many, and it's you might just be like, we don't know these other teams. Yeah, we just ran through the mocks, but did you just, I mean, like Seattle, they had them picking a receiver. They still have no one blocking. How does Wynn not fit there or center? You know what I mean? So I'm surprised at that. I think there's always the room for that type of thing to happen. I think the Bengals would love it if honestly one of those tackles fell to them. But you're right in terms of this case of your top 20 there, Paul. If you're looking for truly that BPA, you're kind of hoping some tackles get overdrafted along with an extra quarterback, and then maybe the tight end who couldn't run a 40 at all.
Or running backs popping. I mean, right. Maybe Ronald Jones or guys up there, yeah, end up getting up in front of them and push some of those right guys back and give you. I mean, last year, remember all the guys that nobody thought would be there at 9? And not only were they there at 9, they were there in the 17, 18,
right,
19
They
range.
Had Reuben Foster lasted to the end of the first round. Yeah.
O.J. Howard ended right up 19. Lattimore was there. Right. Hooker was there.
Oh, you're killing Bengals fans.
I know, but they were all there.
Right.
Isn't that funny that Hooker was there a year when they're dying for a center fielder? Right? But you talk about guys that were – it was surprising to everybody. Nobody thought three receivers were going to go in the top 9.
Right.
The teams hide information now more than ever.
Yeah.
This is an important point. I think 5 years ago, you could be more accurate this time of year, the week leading up, and have a good feeling for things. Teams have never been more secretive. They've never been more tight-lipped on this stuff, ever. There's way more at stake. There's way more gamesmanship going on than ever before, and everybody's trying to have poker faces
right
with the cards in their hands and not give anything away. So it's very unpredictable. That said, the Bengals, Bryce Daniels Ragnow, that seems to make the most sense. I think if you're looking at it, if you're getting into Payne and Edmonds and Smith somehow ending up, which no one thinks that, but no one thought Jonathan Allen
right
last year.
Right.
I mean, all those guys people right thought would be top 10 picks, and they ended up near 20, around 20. So we'll see, especially if a run on quarterbacks and running backs happens.
Right. Yeah, or you never know, you get that oddball, Ridley's the clear, far and away receiver, but what, DJ Moore? I mean, all it takes right is one team to just decide to,
for sure,
to take a receiver too as well. I think for me, Paul, though, it's almost like I don't want to go center because it's so obvious.
Mm-hmm.
And this team never does that.
Yeah.
So I think if a tackle's there, I could see them saying going tackle center or tackle first and seeing what happens after that and mm-hmm who's available.
Yeah. All right. So we've kind of – that's where that stands. All right. So let's bring in – the mock draft through seven rounds now. So we discussed the first round pick, and I will say, if I run this fan-sided thing here, it's similar. I'll give you some of the same guys that are in play here. Price, DJ Moore, Marcus Davenport is there, which that would be maybe interesting. Jair Alexander, Rashawn Evans.
If Alexander's there, they might just take him.
Right, here we go. Right?
Right.
Corner?
I mean,
goodness. They're going to do corner. Josh Jackson, Ridley, Van Der Esch. Daniels is also there. I have Price. You could pick Daniels.
Right.
I have Price. So that's the first round. So here we go. Let's move it forward. Hit the button here and simulate. So we move now up to the second round pick. So Colton Miller's still on the board.
Yeah, I think they're running to the
yeah
They're running to the.
If they can go offensive line, and get the center and the tackle,
right?
Get any combination of Miller and McGlinchey, two of the five between Ragnow, Price, Daniels, Miller, and McGlinchey. If they come away with two of those five, they're dancing. They're dancing right. Inside PBS. Yeah, I think that is the ideal scenario, because now you show up. And you've got a whole new offensive line.
Right.
And you've got competition for Jake Fisher, and a guy that, quite honestly, you hope comes in and beats him. At the very least, you have a successor for next year. And you have insurance at left tackle, in case you don't want to play Cedric right. away even as the backup. And so I think they'd be excited about it. Other guys on the table here. This also had Ragnow still available, but a lot of opinions are all over the map on him.
Yeah, if the thought is to go center in the first round, there's clearly
they wouldn't.
I don't think they'd double up on an interior lineman.
Yeah, but the fact that he's still available too shows the possibility of going, you know, tackle up front, and maybe still getting one of the centers. I mean, you just who knows. So in this, Maurice Hurst. Still there, Harrison Phillips, a guy that we had mocked to possibly a second round. Yeah. Ronnie Harrison, the safety from Alabama, also available. Dallas Goedert, the tight end from South Dakota, also available. Orlando Brown, available. Hayden Hurst, available. I don't think they would have a guy like Miller over top of those guys, and I don't think that they, even with the tight ends there, I don't think they would be pulled. I don't think they'd pull the trigger. They would go Phillips first.
Yes.
I think they'd go with the defense.
The tackle, right.
If all those five we mentioned were gone, I think they'd move over to Phillips. Depending on, you never know who falls, but I think that they would look at that.
Yeah, I think defensive tackle is higher on the list than an edge rusher. So, yeah, if we're at that point, you're right, I think, whatever D tackle they had, you know, on the board at that point would be the pick for them.
Okay, so moving on, let's hit the button here and move on to the next round. So off they come, Goddard, Brown, Mark Andrews. Okay, so we now arrive. There's some safeties in play here. Justin Reed from Stanford still available. Arden Key. The defensive end, the edge from LSU, who we projected to be a third round type of guy.
And this would be their third.
This
second.
Is 77 overall. This the first the, pick in the third
first
round.
Pick of the third round.
So, you have Jesse Bates, the safety available, kind of a middle.
I don't
center
see
fielder
Justin
type.
Reed falling all the way to the third round.
I don't either.
Reality. Yeah,
I don't. I mean, you get into this. We're in. Couch blogger, you know, rankings of players type thing. I mean, these guys put a lot of work in, and I respect that, but this isn't what teams have.
Yeah.
You know, we don't know if Justin Reed would be a guy that would be available. Let's just say if he is, they're going to the table. With any of the, I would say Reed and Jesse Bates were there. Well, a safety, the chance at getting a top quality, a guy that they would have a second round grade on, or possibly a first round grade on, at safety in this spot, I think would be a hero play for them. I think they'd be really excited, and I think they would turn in Arden Key as well.
Yeah.
I have Reed.
In this scenario,
I have Reed. All right, so moving on to pick 100 now. So this is okay, so we've got another group. With the safety off the table, there were still some good safeties in play, but we're not going to go there again. You've got Josh Sweat, the defensive end, kind of a real freakish athlete type.
Is he related
from Florida
to Keith?
State? He's not. So
that would be amazing.
If he is, you're writing that story.
Yes.
The moment he's drafted.
And book national anthem singer for 8 home games.
No doubt. No doubt. Well, 7. Listen, John Winfrey has to.
Yeah.
Come on. He's John Winfrey.
Yeah.
We've got to have him. He's the best.
How about a duet?
Keith Sweat. John Winfrey shares a stage with no one. He's a Cincinnati firefighter, okay? He's the man. So, you know, Perry Nickerson, the fast cornerback from Tulane. You know, I'm starting to look at Tigray Scales, the linebacker from Indiana, from Colerain.
Yeah.
Tight ends are in play still. You know, those are types. I have Josh Sweat. I'm saying they go the edge rusher here.
Yeah.
The kind of freaky athletic edge rusher at that point in the draft.
This is their second, third round.
This is number 100. Yeah. The second, third round pick. The last pick on day two.
Yeah.
You know, I just feel like, you know, they have not addressed defensive tackle yet, but Tim Settle is gone. A lot of the guys, you know, Shepard is gone. Those types of guys. In this particular scenario, PJ Hall is gone. I'm not seeing a lot of guys that I think that they have interest in at that spot. And it's kind of a glaring thing that they have not gone with four picks in, no defensive tackle. They probably would prefer, but, I mean, if they feel like they're getting good value with a guy
Yeah,
like
I mean,
Sweat
in these scenarios,
point.
You've got guys like that had slid way, way further than anyone would have thought.
Yeah.
So I think they'd be more comfortable rolling with Andrew Billings and Chris Baker and a developmental, you know, tackle in the mid rounds if Justin Reed is there.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. So okay, so now we're going on to day three and they have a single fourth round pick, the 12th pick of the day, number 112 overall. This is interesting. So there is I'm trying to.
Here, I think in what may actually happen, I'm curious if Arden Key falls to this point. Because
yeah.
I think there's just so much mystery and kind of baggage around that guy. That early fourth round is kind of a. I don't know. I don't really do mocks. I do have some names here. I'll tweet them out just so when I'm right later, I can be like, I got it right.
Yeah.
you know, I'm curious if that's something that may happen.
Yeah. So we get to day three, and one name that's popping off to me, and I don't see them doing it. I don't see them doing it, but I'm interested in the idea when I saw who was still there and started to consider it. And that was Nyheim Hines from NC State, the running back.
Yeah.
The do-everything Tariq Cohen type.
Yeah.
Still on the board at the first pick of their first pick in the fourth round. Now, you've got Tigray Scales still on the board. You've got a couple of the tight ends, the good quality mid-round tight ends, Dalton Schultz, Ian Thomas from Indiana.
Yeah.
Also local ish. So you've got.
I think in that case they tip the scales, scales, or Thomas Schultz. I think that's where, if you're the Bengals, it's those are the ones that make sense more than a fourth round running back, even if the guy's talented.
And he'd kind of be a do it all type, right? I mean, you'd have a punt returner, you'd have a guy you could put out into the slot, you'd have a kickoff returner, you'd have your third running back. If that's something, I don't,
yeah,
like, again, that, I don't think they'll do that.
Right.
However, I would be, well, let's just say this. If he's hanging around at any of those fifth round picks, I think they should consider it. I would do it.
Yeah, if there's just a big difference between 112 and 170 and 158, so you're right.
Yeah.
But I think if that's in this particular scenario, I think tight end and linebacker especially has to be addressed at this point.
Yeah. So I have Ian Thomas, but to me it was Thomas, Scales, and, you know, there's a few other linebacker types that you can jump in on. So, but you're right. I think that's the point where we're going positional now.
Yeah.
And, you know, a guy like Thomas who's a little bit developmental because he hasn't played a ton of tight end.
Yeah.
That next year at this point could come in and be Eifert-ish.
Right.
I think there's some Eifert-ish guys in this range. And this would be a good time to take advantage of them. All right. So moving on. Hines goes before they go in the fifth round in this scenario. Holton Hill on the board here in the fifth round.
Yeah.
We talked about him troubled, but at the fifth round, and a guy with physical skills to be towards the top, I could see them making a run at somebody like that. You know, you're still looking for a linebacker.
Right. So I think in a true scenario, that I don't know if they've gotten to this point without addressing linebacker yet.
Yeah, that's the thing, but it hasn't seemed to fall correctly. That, you know, you worry. You know, in the fourth round, they could have gone Shaquem Griffin if you want to have the best story of the draft.
Griffin's an interesting one, Paul. I'll put this out there. I think if he's available at 170,
mm-hmm.
they might.
The last pick, their
Think
last pick
it.
In the fifth round.
Yeah,
yeah.
Now I don't know how other teams view this kid. You know what I mean? Like maybe he is a great story, but every team is like, "Hey, if he's there in the seventh,
yeah."
And we just, and if that's the case, you know, maybe the Bengals feel the same way. I don't know. I think he's such a unique athlete, and I do think front offices like him.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, it's up to coaches to make it work. Shaquem Griffin, I wouldn't be surprised if we were all interviewing him on Monday the 30th.
Yeah, I mean,
there's something about it, Paul. I don't know. I mean, he may go. I mean, Jerry might take him in the third round, for all I know. You know what I mean?
Yeah, who knows?
But yeah,
someone's gonna be inspired by the story, and but yeah, you're right. I don't think it's much earlier than this. So linebacker, I dropped in with Fred Warner, the linebacker, just to kind of fill in with the next pick. You know, QB is in play at this point, but it didn't really break. A lot of the QBs go high in this for some reason. There's not really much left in the QB range. So I have them not even – I have DeAndre Sennett is there at somehow. At this point, this is where it gets weird, like – I don't know. Like these, that's not rankings that you see. These guys go higher, but in this case, this is the first time that the defensive tackle thing kind of hits.
Right.
And then you get in the seventh round, and it's just it's all. I'm not really going to do much. You know,
this is where you might see. We wrote about this, you know, 12 days ago. Seems like forever ago. We wrote about specialists. Where I think if the Bengals keep these 3 7th rounders. This is where, especially those last two, which are at the very end of the draft, you might see them make a run at, you know, the Michael Bagley kid out of Miami, the kicker. You might see them make that running back pick just because it's like, okay, these guys, like Mason Schreck last year, that priority free agent, well, let's not even worry about it.
Yeah, this is where running back, receiver, the needs fill in to get the best of the priority free agents comes in. So I have, you know, a running back and a receiver and another defensive lineman. A kid named Atkins from Georgia, John Atkins. You can't beat going with a Georgia Atkins if you're the Bengals. So anyway, so that's kind of where I have it land. So you look overall, no QB, waiting to the very end to get running back and wide receiver, no guard.
But Lamar was here.
Yeah. You know what? I only have the top first two picks being offensive linemen. That's probably an oversight on my point. I would think they would come in with a third. If they did that even, that's somewhere. And I also think that they will try to combine picks and move at some point.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think there is going to be a desire. I mean, they did that last year, you know, to move up to get Brandon Wilson. I think, you know, no six-rounder. So I think they'll definitely try to shorten up that. And I could also see them packaging. I think as they can't trade comp picks that aren't awarded yet. But as it stands, I mean, they've got 2 sixths for next year. Already on the books with their own and the one from Ben Abin-Wickery.
They're probably set with 5 6-round picks, right?
Yeah, if the comp picks hold.
Yeah, right.
But they have two that they could trade right now, which would be the six they got for Ben Abin-Wickery. Remember him?
Yes.
They got a 6-rounder for him and their own whenever that is.
Who wants a bunch of 6-round picks?
Somebody did. I mean, they moved up enough last year. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, these are just guys at this point, but it's just I think you're right, Paul. I mean, 2 years in a row to try to roster 11 guys. I mean, as we all know, Jake Elliott cut. J.J. Dielman was cut. You know, Schreck and Wilson started the year on PUP and IR. So,
you know, we referenced I referenced the last time they had 3 fifth-round picks. They hit it out of the park. They got Marvin Jones and George Iloka. Sorry, Sean Prater, you were the other guy.
Yeah.
That is so rare to do something like that in a fifth round. I think people understand that. To me, when I look at the best way, if we're talking about when are you best fit to package and move up to assure you get somebody that's a little better, I would say packaging 2 of your 5s to move up and get an earlier move up into the fourth.
Right.
Where I think you see much more impactful players in the fourth. Historically here and across the league,
right,
the fourth is kind of the cutoff.
I don't recall the trade up for Bodine when they moved
about
up.
10 spots and in the fourth.
Did they move fifth rounders for that? I'm forgetting off the top of my head.
Oh, gosh.
But regardless, I mean, you know, I think that we're thinking along the same lines.
Yes.
When you've got 3 fives, I don't think the 7s are really worth much, but I mean, you could throw them in. And you're right, Paul, whether it be for moving from 112 to 101 in the fourth, or which is essentially the last third rounder, or moving up, you know, off that 100 pick in the third up a few more. I think I wouldn't be surprised if they tried something there in the middle rounds. You need a partner.
Yeah.
But
in the Bodine trade, they gave up a 6.
Okay.
So I mean, to move up essentially from 12 spots from 123 to 111.
At that point, who knows? One of those 6 next year or one of those 7s might actually be valuable to a team. So
And then you bring in the other scenario of, okay, they don't take the center at 21. What are you willing to give up? Let's say Ragnow is the only one on
right.
You know, and I went through this in the centerpiece. Trades will change things.
Yes.
But when you look at the teams between the Bengals and the beginning of the first round. The beginning of the second round. Cleveland twice, Colts twice. Neither with center needs.
Right. And those are teams unlikely to trade those picks because they need...
Because they need everybody they can get. But who knows what's going to have happened, who's going to have traded. You know, the teams with the center needs are really not... really not there.
And it's a calculated risk. It's how and why they traded down and still landed Joe Mixon.
Yes.
They knew Mike Zimmer was going to take Dalvin Cook, and they knew, at least a good sense... that Joe Mixon was going to slide those few more picks.
You know, the Giants at pick 3 in the second round could be in play for any of those interior linemen. So you'd be nervous there. But after that, you know, the Bucks and the Bears and the there's not a lot of teams that really have that spot on their radar. And to take
that
a center
that high,
to
right.
take a center that high, you've got to it's got to be pretty clear that you need it. In that respect, and let's also consider Mike Brown's general unwillingness to trade up. He'd rather just sit and let it come to them most times. There have been instances, but rare, especially early in a draft where you give up a lot.
Right.
Me, I'd have traded up in the second round multiple times in the last 5 years.
Yeah.
You know, the year they took Tyler Boyd, I talked all week about moving up to get Michael Thomas.
Yeah.
There was a drop off there, and hitting the receiver when you needed it, and being more aggressive in the second round if you see a drop off at a key position, and this could be the similar scenario, you know, and maybe they view Corbett the same way. Maybe Corbett is a big 4, not a big 3.
Yeah,
maybe that's the case, and if that's the case, they're waiting until the third one potentially comes off the board, and then they're moving up.
Right,
we'll see. We've not since 2009 have we seen a draft like this where you could potentially have 3 centers off the board in the top 46.
Yeah.
And that was the third one came off at 48 that year, Eric Wood.
Yeah. He was all right.
He was all right. That draft was fantastic for centers. So anyway, interesting to see they want to package picks and not try to roster 11. How will they do that? Where will they do that?
Right.
Another interesting question of the Bengals draft here in the middle rounds. All right, let's hop on some Twitter questions here real quick.
Yep.
Okay, so, and if we've kind of gone through these already, a lot of Lamar Jackson questions.
Ugh, Well, so real quick, and we, you know, Lamar Jackson was in town, yes. Really, and we talked about it, Paul. It was their due diligence. It was a guy who may slide to 21. Who is he? What is he? Assess the value, because if he's sitting there at 21 and someone's calling you, you want to know who he is and what he is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what do they see? Why are they valuing him that way? And then
maybe
what can
they
we
had him in to talk to him to tell him what other teams are telling him?
And that's true too.
I mean, that's all.
So,
part
yeah,
of it.
Right. So, but I don't. You know, it just doesn't fit. Mike loves quarterbacks, but Marvin doesn't like self-generated quarterback controversies.
Yes.
And even though the consensus with Lamar Jackson is he is not ready for this league, at least for a year or two, I don't think this team is going to draft a first-round quarterback to stash him for three seasons or two seasons
two
and
seasons.
Wait for Andy Dalton.
Who knows?
You know,
his contract to run out, yeah. I look, I can make a pretty good argument here for doing that.
Yeah.
But you'd have to convince the head coach to take that on. And Andy Dalton to deal with. You thought the fan base was rough on Dalton already.
Yeah. Oh,
now Lamar Jackson's behind him.
We go from McCarron.
This is McCarron guy on steroids.
Yeah.
This is McCarron guy because you can make an argument for Lamar Jackson.
Right.
Especially if you take him at 21.
If you make it. Yeah.
I mean, the dude's electric, right?
Yeah.
He could be the next Michael Vick if that's a thing. But anyway, shout out to Jeremy Deal, Jeremy Deal83, always following us and has the best avatar now, who he changed it to our Mike Nyer just created graphic of your head on Raj and mine on somebody getting drafted who has the greatest watch ever and our best fits video. So shout out to you, Jeremy Deal. You are the man. We kind of went into this. I'm just going to read it off at Dale Altman. McGlinchey seems to be the dream pick for the Bengals. I kind of agree with that.
Yeah.
Assuming all five of the people we talked about are on the board.
Yeah.
I
mean, tackle definitely valued way higher than center.
Yeah.
And if
you know, it's easier to kick down in than it is to go out, obviously. And look, you're gonna bet on Jake Fisher being the starter here next year?
Right.
Are you really?
Yeah.
Oh boy. I mean, Bobby Hart, what are we talking about?
Yeah.
They have a hole. So, yeah, he says, if unavailable, do they go with Miller and Bengals Twitter explodes in a fit of rage? Or do they take the best center on the board? Or do they trade down even though they have 11 picks? To me, it would be I think they're interested in trading down if only to gather more ammunition to move up
right
later. I think it's a multi-deal. They're not looking to add more picks. They'd be trading down to add more picks to move back up and have less picks.
Yeah.
And I can make an argument for that. I did in my third mock draft. You don't know. I don't know how much they value Miller truly. I think he's the second tackle on the board. I don't think that they would have him above the center. I think you take the center. We've talked about that.
Yeah.
Take the center and move on. Fill the need and move on.
Yeah.
If you're win now, fill the now opening. So.
Yes.
That's our thoughts on that. Thanks, Dale, for the question. Okay, moving it forward. More center questions. Appreciate it. At Denver Bengal, Larry Turner. I mentioned this earlier. He says, fascinating on your podcast how two different guests have made a case for two different centers. And in your mock, you had the third. Correct.
Right.
On a scale of 1 to 10, will the Bengals go center and ultimately which one? We've kind of covered that, but I want to give you your shout out for sending in a similar question. Can Jake Fisher and Clint Bowling be center options? No.
No.
Thank you, Stephen Lilly. We appreciate you sending in a question. Okay, here we go. From Tim Cisco, 13. Tim Cisco. There's a lot of talk about drafting a defensive tackle. Have they given up on Andrew Billings?
I don't know.
It's an important question in this draft.
Yeah, I don't believe, put it this way, they may not trust Andrew Billings. I don't know if they've given up on him. I think they want some backup there in case Andrew Billings, the one we saw last year, is what he is. I think they're hoping second year from the knee injury, you know, he actually makes that tackle in the backfield in Baltimore and, you know, in Denver, some of these in Tennessee. Like I'm naming key plays I can mention where he was back there. It was like, whoa, and then,
doesn't finish.
Yeah.
That's part of why he slipped, I believe.
So, no, I don't believe they've given up. I think it's just some trepidation.
It's an important position in their eyes.
Yes.
And even if Billings does take a step forward, Chris Baker's no more than a one-year guy probably here.
Right.
Even if he plays well, if he has to, I don't think you're comfortable giving that guy a big contract.
No.
We've seen that happen before with him as an issue. So I think you're looking for a one-year prove it. Hey, give us a contribution for 2018.
Yeah.
And then you need, then what do you got? So, yeah, I don't think they've given up on Billings either, but I think that there is some anxiety to move forward because they value that spot. All right. Let me whittle this down a couple so we can wrap this thing up. We talked about trades. Moving up into the back end of the first round, there's nothing wrong with that. You get the fifth-year option.
Right.
I don't know that they have enough capital they're willing to part with unless they do the trade back. If they were to move back to 25 or 26
right.
and add, then maybe they would have enough ammunition to come get 32
right.
and get the tackle center combo
right.
we're talking about or somebody else like that. That said, that would be a whole lot of wheeling and dealing for Mike Brown.
Yeah, although I will mention this, it may be more, you mentioned the fifth-year option. If you look at the prices for interior linemen that are basically now rivaling tackle money, even a fifth-year option in 2022 of $10 million or whatever it might be is going to be cheaper than whatever the guard costs.
We'll be into the next CBA at that point.
Yeah.
Or lockout.
Well, yeah, that's
so,
true.
So it kind of gets a little...
Yeah.
You know,
but anything, I mean, that idea...
Anything beyond 3 years now... Who knows what you're really
right.
dealing with?
So, but you know, I don't. I doubt. I highly, highly doubt it. But
yeah, it's a lot of, it's a lot of action.
Yeah.
For Mike Brown.
Yes.
I want to shout out to Greg Luther at Gregor09. He sent the "Give me your Bengals draft board" tweet, which we did earlier, with the first round pick. And a shout out to R Smith 0906. Big day. Be honest, how much do you hate mock draft questions? Quite a bit.
Yeah.
Let me tell you why I hate mock draft questions. Similarly to the reason I hate draft questions in the season.
Yeah.
Mock draft will be torn up five picks in.
Yeah.
Because of the secrecy thing, because trades, this year more than ever, if we've learned anything from this offseason, is that this draft is probably going to be wild with trades.
Yeah.
Everything is going to change. So you can mock, oh, needs of that
right.
team and this team and who will. It's all going to change when all these trades happen.
Right.
The Bengals could trade. There's just a it changes so much immediately. You can rip those things up
yeah.
right
yeah.
off the jump. Now, in the Bengals range, you can, you know, it's good to give you a range of ideas of,
right.
of what is there. However, when you start getting into really trying to predict the pick,
right.
there's just two. You need to have your board, stay true to it,
yeah.
and understand where you might or might not need to move back. All right, that's questions. Whew. We're hot and heavy here. We have covered some ground.
Yeah.
All right, so let's.
I think we just hit the power rankings.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's all we got.
Yeah.
Power rankings are left. So let's talk power rankings.
Fictional dogs, in honor of my real dog,
Zosha.
Zosha making her debut, to
Very,
the chagrin of many.
Yeah, to the
many weeks ago.
Screw you! All right, I know.
I said it.
You did. You did. Don't talk about Jim's dog.
Yeah,
that makes him mad. All right. So no. Top three, bottom three.
Yeah.
Fictional dogs includes movie dogs, TV dogs, cartoon dogs.
Yeah.
Top three, bottom three. Let's start with the bottom three. What do you got?
So from 3, 2, 1, so 3, Benji.
Benji? What do you got against Benji?
I don't like little dogs.
It's a little dog thing.
Yeah.
Very popular, Benji. Is
yeah.
that what you don't like? You don't like his rise to popularity as a little dog?
Yeah, I just, it's weak.
Yeah.
I don't like Benji. but see, this is funny, though, because number two, Clifford. Huge.
Too big.
Completely the opposite way.
Too
what
big.
Does Clifford do? What is Clifford other than red and big?
He's a big dog.
Yeah, I don't.
People loved Andre the Giant. He was big.
No, so I go from one to the other.
Man, why you got Clifford the big
yeah.
red dog? A very lovable.
Yeah,
a lovable character.
It's just something about it. And then number three, and you know what this is.
This is your top.
The worst of the three. Yeah, one, three, one. Number one worst. Scooby.
I can't believe you hate a Scooby. That's,
Scooby is this the is so worst disrespectful. Fictional dog. What it?
Why?
There is no bigger waste of a character or of a dog character than Scooby Doo.
Why is he a waste? He helped solve so many crimes.
It's
he
so
had
it's not,
snacks.
It's not funny.
Roar Raggy?
Yeah, no, not funny at all.
That's kind of funny.
No.
I don't understand why.
People need to know, like, my
of
my
all the dogs of all the dogs.
Know, we're skipping this segment this week, but I mean Scooby makes me mad.
Yeah, I don't understand
I just,
why.
Yeah,
here's my bottom three, and they're all going to be way worse dogs. So, bottom three: Snoopy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No. I'm...
What are you doing? Get off the house. Okay. Show some initiative. Get off the house.
That's
do
what
something
Snoopy
else.
Great.
I'm not. You probably love Snoopy.
Yeah.
I'm sure you do.
I'm not,
I thought
no spoilers.
You love Snoopy, and that's part of why I don't like Snoopy. He needs to get some initiative. Get up, get out, and get something. Okay. Quit sitting around on the house.
You're not.
Okay. My number two dog. Cujo. Why you gotta be so mean? You're giving dogs a bad name. You know, you're angry, you're biting, you're barking. That's all the worst characteristics of a dog. Don't be scary. Be a lovable dog. So if you and especially if you're gonna be famous, why you gotta be so angry, Cujo? And you're like, oh, that's Scooby, screw that guy, but Cujo's out there like basically eating people.
Yeah, if we had stuck to like real dogs, like in the movies that like a real dog played, Cujo would have been in my top three.
Your top three?
Yeah, like number one.
You're just
if I would have done.
You're such an ass.
Yeah.
All right. All right. So my number one on the bottom. Yeah. This might be controversial. I don't know. But it's not because I'm going to explain myself. It's just the concept of it is depressing. And that's Old Yeller.
Yeah.
And it's sad. Old Yeller dies, man.
What about Marley? You just throw Marley in there, too.
I don't care about Marley and Me. It's a stupid movie. Old Yeller is like...
I guess Marley was real,
wasn't
he?
It's one of the most like popular dog movies ever.
Yeah.
And the damn dog, it's a lovable... It dies.
Yeah.
I don't want it to die. It's it makes me sad. So I don't want to be sad.
Yeah.
I don't want to be scared. Okay? And I don't want to feel... I don't want to feel like I can't... I don't have any initiative. So that's my problem.
Which is so wrong.
It's how these dogs make me feel. All right. So you're top three.
Top three. Number three, Rolf from the Muppets.
Rolf... Oh, Rolf!
Dude, he is so, listen to Rolf, his lines, his one-liners, and, like, Rolf is gangster, man, I'm telling you. And he's got that piano.
Yeah.
Number two, Snoopy. The Red Baron, the author,
Name me a Snoopy book.
Hey, he's got that typewriter.
He's still grinding that first one out.
Hey, you know what? He's done more than Brian Griffin ever did with that.
Never hit deadline.
That writing.
Never hit deadline.
You know, he's got that legion of birds that follow him around.
Yeah.
Yeah. Snoopy's a boss, dude.
I'd be scared about that birds thing following me around, though.
Yeah. No, it's, you know. And then number one, this is so nerdy, but it's the best one. It's not Cujo. White Fang.
White Fang is your number of all the dogs? White Fang?
Yeah. I'll put up White Fang against any fictional dog.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. All right.
Largely because he's a wolf.
Again, we see common characteristics with everything with you. And you just love death and like hardcore destruction and fright and intimidation and general jackass tendencies. Okay. All right. So my top three. Scooby-Doo. Scooby-Doo. Oh, I'm not going to go further into it, but he's in my top three. Solving crimes, having fun, being a general jovial dog, part of the whole good crew. He's got great snacks. They solve crimes every episode.
He didn't solve any crimes.
He was around. He was sniffing stuff out. Don't you turn on him. All right. Speaking of solving crimes, McGruff the crime dog. You talk about getting stuff done. McGruff.
He does get stuff done.
He gets stuff done. And it goes to show that I'm all about bettering our society with my top three. It's all about crime solving. Number one, the Shaggy DA, baby. The Shaggy DA. Maybe for our young listeners, they don't know the Shaggy DA.
Yeah, I don't.
Big Shaggy dog who solves. He's a DA. He solves all the crimes. Puts all the bad people in jail. He's a Shaggy DA.
There's a theme here for your top dogs.
Yeah. People that better society. Notice the theme. Bottom three, make things worse, make me feel bad. Top three, make me feel good, like we made something happen. Have a purpose. Other dogs that I feel bad that weren't mentioned in one way or the other. Droopy dog.
Droopy sucked.
A little. But he's funny to imitate, you know what I mean? Oh, hey, Jim.
Yeah.
It's depressing.
Yeah.
But he's fun to imitate. Einstein from Back to the Future, I wanted to be in my top three.
Yeah.
But he didn't do enough. He was outside of time travel, which none of these other
one
dogs
one of the most
did.
Annoying dogs ever, but you never, which is a heck of an accomplishment because you never saw him, was Farfel in the Seinfeld episode that Jerry had to watch Farfel.
Oh, yeah. Yips.
Oh.
I wasn't a yipper. Yeah.
No, it was like destroying everything because it was like his owner on the plane got hammered and disappeared for 3 days.
Snot from National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. But didn't quite do enough to make it in. Murray from Mad About You, Comet from Full House, all quality like sitcom dogs.
Yeah,
and then of course you know Eddie from Frasier.
Yeah,
also a very popular dog. R.I.P.
Yeah.
Most of these dogs that are actually alive probably dead. Brian Griffin from
probably
you
dead.
Know. So anyway, there's lots of other
Marmaduke's
good
dogs. Like Scooby Doo. Marmaduke sucked.
He was just big. But not Clifford big.
No.
And you don't like big things.
Well,
or small things.
I do.
Or
but not those kind of big
or
things.
Or lovable things. You hate big, small, and lovable.
Yeah.
You just want angry and Snoopy.
Snoopy.
All right. So that is that's fictional dogs. It was intense. I'm exhausted. All right. Reminding everybody, Monday. April 30th, live Bengals Beat podcast at the 50 West Brewery Production Works, 7 o'clock, April 30th. Myself, Jim, Duke, and breaking down all things draft from this weekend. And, of course, this weekend, make sure you have our Inquirer Bengals app. We will be buzzing you in your pocket with every pick, information on who they are, analysis of what their role will be, what experts have said about them. We'll have all of that right in your pocket, right as the picks happen. Draft tracker, pick pages, videos, all of it. So make sure you have our Inquirer Bengals app. Search that, download it. You'll want it this weekend. All free, all right there for you. So make sure you have that set up this weekend. And, of course, Cincinnati.com will be loaded with all of our draft coverage. We kill ourselves for 3 days. For you! For you! And then we'll come back next week. So, anyway, thank you to everybody for following along. I hope you enjoy our draft strategy series, which is they're all up, all 12 pieces are up on the site. I get tired just even thinking about them, but they cover anything you could possibly want to know about the Bengals draft. Cincinnati.com, go to the Bengals page. They're all up there. Just open up the number one, the interior offensive line, and links to all 12 are in that one right at the top, so you can go through everything. Anyway, thanks to everybody that has read those, followed along, sent questions, everything else. And, you know, of course, thanks to the Shaggy DA for all the good work he did. We appreciate that, and we will we'll talk to y'all next week after the draft. Hopefully we'll see you down at 50 West. So have a good one, everybody.